It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
They always call him Mr. Touchdown. They always call him Mr. Team. He can run and kick and throw. Give him the ball and just look at him go. Hip, hip, hooray for Mr.
And now a few thoughts about rushing the football field. Our days of watching those overly excited college football fans running onto the field after an exciting victory may soon be coming to an end. That is, if the NCAA and your college football conference have anything to do with it. This spontaneous act of celebration after a football game usually comes under one of two scenarios. Number one, your home football team has defeated a very bitter rival for the first time in many years. Or number two, your home football team as a bona fide underdog has risen to the occasion to defeat a nationally ranked opponent. Most school and team officials are able to anticipate the possibility that such rowdy postgame celebrations on the field could actually occur. For example, let's head down to Baton Rouge. When LSU had a multi-year losing streak against the team's former head coach, Nick Saban, and the Alabama Crimson Tide, there's always going to be a good chance that Tiger fans are going to come rushing onto the field if LSU should break through and end the losing streak. The LSU public address announcer at the stadium will dutifully warn the crowd before the game, during the game, and minutes before it ends, do not run on the field. The verbal warnings, though, just don't work with 102,000 ecstatic fans who are ready to celebrate the end of that losing streak with their victorious football team. Let's face it, when your college football team defeats its biggest rival at home for the first time in years, the home team fans are going to feel the necessity to release a lot of pent-up emotion. It certainly doesn't help matters if many of those fans might be inebriated by the end of the game, too. Thousands of drunk and sober fans are still going to find a way to jump directly onto the field as the seconds come off the clock at the end of the game, and they swarm onto the football field in celebration. This massive rush onto the field puts the opposing team, its coaches, and the game officials in a bit of danger, too. The opposing team's players are already unhappy about this defeat. The players certainly don't need the other school students taunting them as they try to make their way back to the loser's locker room after the game ends. The home team's players, though, are a lot more understanding. As long as these jubilant fans remain respectful, the players, being college students as well, are also happy to oblige the approaching throng. This onrush of stadium support must feel like a giant wave of happiness is descending upon the football field. And it carries a lifetime of memories for most people involved. Unfortunately, some of those fans also retain memories of minor or severe injuries while trying to scale barriers and jump 10 or more feet onto the field. Sprained and broken ankles and leg injuries are becoming more common during these bursts of positive pandemonium. And right on cue, the legal profession has gotten into the act too. Attorneys for some of these people injured in the post-game celebrations have attempted to recover damages from the schools for their clients who have sustained injuries. A website promoting sports litigation, yes, there is actually such a thing, cited a case where a football goal snapped under the weight of fans who had climbed onto it during these post-game celebrations. And the goalpost, which cost $20,000, by the way, weighs 600 pounds on its own. And that's prior to the addition of enthusiastic post-game climbers. The goalpost actually fell on someone's head below and caused a fractured skull and brain damage. So an attorney sued the university on behalf of that injured fan. The legal position was that the university had not adequately warned all fans that rushing the field after the game was prohibited and dangerous. The University of Alabama's football team should know more about this phenomenon than just about any college football team in America. The most successful team in college football for most of the last two decades rarely loses more than one or two games every season. Alabama rarely loses either at home or on the road. And last season, the Alabama football team was involved in not one but two separate post-game spontaneous celebrations. neither of which occurred in Tuscaloosa. A rare loss by Bama to an SEC rival on the road is a very big deal to most of the SEC's opposing fans. And last year, Alabama's football team was swarmed by opposing fans in both Knoxville, Tennessee and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, after the team lost at Tennessee and LSU. After 24 years of frustration against Alabama's football team, the gleeful Tennessee fans somehow managed to storm the field, dismantle the goalpost, and then carry it outside of the football stadium and dump it into the nearby Tennessee River. The Southeastern Conference understands just how passionate its fans are. In fact, the slogan of cable television's SEC network says, "It just means more." That's the way it's always been here in the Deep South. The SEC is trying to discourage its football fans on ending these spontaneous celebrations beginning this coming season. The SEC is also going to try to help the league and its schools avoid unnecessary injuries to the players, the fans, and the thousands of dollars in damages for equipment losses and repairs to the playing surface. And also, did I mention those expensive lawsuits? Large fines have been doled out in the last few years by the Southeastern Conference. And last year, the University of Tennessee was fined $100,000 by the league after its glorious post-game celebration on the field after beating Alabama. The Tennessee athletic donors were more than happy to ante up to repay the athletics department for that fine and the cost of any of the cleanup. According to one source, neither Alabama nor the University of Florida, by the way, has been the site of fans storming onto the home field after a tense victory. In Bama's case, the prevailing thought seems to be, well, we only celebrate championships. And in Gainesville, Florida, Gator fans also consider the turf on Florida Field to be sacred.
Not so fast!
A few weeks ago, a report surfaced that the SEC is giving thought to a very severe form of punishment to end these post-game celebrations on the football field. And if that plan is enacted, the league will have the right to take away the next home game against that same opponent. For example, Alabama will not only host this year's game with Tennessee and LSU in 2023, it will also host the 2024 games, which are currently scheduled to be played in Knoxville and Baton Rouge. Ouch! That would mean the loss of millions of dollars in revenue for the athletic departments of both Tennessee and LSU. Perhaps the most civil answer to this growing problem lies in the small, quaint city of Clemson, South Carolina. Tiger fans there call it the Gathering at the Paw. This unique Clemson University tradition began upon the opening of Memorial Stadium back in 1942. Frank Howard, not the baseball player, Clemson's head coach at the time between 1940 and 1969, used to allow the fans, in fact, he encouraged the fans to come onto the field after every home game as a positive way for the fans to engage with the players. This post-game celebration has been renamed Gathering at the Paw at Clemson in 2003 after the school enacted a few more restrictions to help prevent a bit of rowdy behavior which occurred during the 2002 football season. Once every Clemson football game ends, the two goalposts are quickly removed via a retractable mechanism, and the opposing team is also given some time to safely make its way back to the locker room. And after that happens, the Clemson fans are all invited onto the field, using only designated ramps, though, to avoid injuries by any fans that want to jump over the retaining wall. So the Tigers football team is on the field, joined by the fans, as they surround the big Clemson Tiger Paw logo at midfield. And then the band plays the school's alma mater, and the fans are allowed to linger on the field for a short period. This really seems like a plausible idea for the SEC schools, well, at least for those not named Alabama or Florida, beginning this fall. You know, I'd like to see the SEC utilize their big wallet full of television money to go pay for the initial installation of retractable goalposts and controls for those things at each conference football stadium. Once completed, it would be up to each SEC member school to devise their own plan to permit a safer and more orderly entrance onto the football field by home football fans. The SEC's proposed and rather draconian punishment plan is scheduled to be discussed at the league's upcoming annual meeting in Destin, Florida on May 30th. So let's hope that a more practical solution, such as Clemson's postgame celebration, will be adopted rather than moving a future football game away from a team which has an overenthusiastic home crowd. Money talks, so I expect LSU and Tennessee to bring some very good ideas to the table at the next SEC meeting later this month. I'm Swamp Swami.
See you later, Watergate.
Gator.